Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Welcome, everyone, to the first episode of Dads the Podcast, a show not just for dads, but for dads and non-dads. I am Rory Scovel. I am a comic. I'm an actor. But most importantly, I'm a dad. And that's where I'm coming from. I'm a dad. On each episode of Dads, we're going to be joined by special guests, and we're going to talk about the mysteries of fatherhood, parenting, and all those weirdos out there who raised us. Some of them will be dads, some will be non-dads. And by we, I mean me and my co-host, Ruthie Wyatt, who's here with me right now. Ruthie, are you a dad?
No, I'm not. Hi.
Non-dad. First ever non-dad voice on the show, Ruthie Wyatt, right there.
That's right. I'm a non-dad.
Woo. Non-dad, so excited about that.
Yeah.
Ruthie has worked at Team Coco. That's how we met a few years ago. Yeah. We've known each other for a very long time, but we actually worked together on a tour with Conan in November of 2018.
Yeah, Conan and Friends, an 18-city tour. Let me plug it. It's not happening anymore.
Plug so the
let
thing me give that happened plug. In the past.
Yeah, starring Conan O'Brien and his friends, like Rory Scovel.
Yes.
No, we had a lot of fun. It was awesome. It was. You were only with us for a week. And you FaceTimed with your daughter every night. And I thought that was so cool. And I thought it was so cool that you could like FaceTime with your daughter and then like 10 minutes later go on stage and crush it.
Oh my God, you're being so nice. I should let you in on a couple things though. I do that that thing Cameo where you just get a video. And so that was me for another family. So that wasn't my daughter or my wife.
So welcome to the first and last episode of Dad's the Podcast.
You know what I think? I think what people will gain from this, they'll learn some, we'll have some do's and don'ts, but I think it's more don'ts. And a lot of people will walk away going, okay, so don't do that. Yeah. It's more leading by like reverse psychology example kind of.
Yeah. Yeah.
Does that make sense?
It totally does. Yeah. The don'ts.
That's what it'd be. And you heard Ruthie say right there, she's not even a parent. That's because in this podcast, we represent everybody. You're either a dad or you're a non-dad.
Yeah.
And everyone has a story about how their dad shaped their life. Even people who say, I never even knew my dad. Even that is something. Some people have a stepdad. That counts.
Some people
moms,
have a neighbor.
Non-dads. Those count.
Yeah.
And then you're like, well, why even call it Dad's the Podcast? I don't know. Because maybe we have to have a name for the show. Okay?
Yeah.
God, our listeners are so aggressive. So That's what you're going to get from me and Ruthie. Just a couple of knuckleheads, and that's what we call ourselves. Go to our merch. Click merch right now. You're going to see a couple of knuckleheads. It'll be both our headshots.
Yeah, back
that's
to back.
Our first, that's our first bit of merch, couple of knuckleheads. And we're just going to talk about all things related to growing up in a world that has dads in it and how that affects us and shapes us and molds us. And you know what? They're fun, easy to listen to conversations.
That's right.
Can I just say that? But the secret's out. Obviously, you guys know that we're on we're in with Team Coco. We're doing the podcast under the umbrella of our overlord,
yeah.
Conan O'Brien. And so it's only fitting that our first guest on this be the guy who inspired us to get into podcasts. Not entertainment. But podcasting.
Yeah.
And his name is Conan O'Brien, and we had a fantastic conversation with him. Get him in here. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the first ever Dad's the Podcast, where we are joined by what we've been told to say is our greatest guest we will ever achieve.
That's right.
And that is Mr. Conan O'Brien. I would do an intro, but honestly,
you got that almost right, but it's Admiral O'Brien. I am a rear admiral in the Navy, and you're to say that. Yeah, you're supposed to. But no, you did that very well. Yeah.
I'm Admiral Conan O'Brien.
I'm telling you, a friend of mine's father used to do this. A friend of mine, Robin Flender's father, was a hilarious comedy writer, and he used to make reservations under the name. They would say, "And what's the name?" And he'd do it over the phone. This is like in the 60s, and he'd say, "Admiral Flender," and he'd always get a good table.
I love that. That's a so smart good. Move.
No one's giving an admiral a bad table. So just sometimes I call places. If I say Conan O'Brien, I might not get in. But if I say Rear Admiral O'Brien, I'm getting a good table.
Here's my question. You make a reservation. Have you ever even, like, what year did you go, "Well, I can't give my name anymore"?
I started going as Rory Scovel after I saw you perform, and I was like, that's a name. There, I can hide in that name. No one will ever know who this man is. And
despite my greatest efforts.
Yeah. The strangest thing that happens is if I'm talking to, like, a person at AT&T and I'm saying, yes, no, I'm having this issue, or someone like that. I'm talking to someone and they go, like, uh-huh, okay, and your name is, and I go, Conan. And they go, okay, last name, O'Brien. And there's, like, sometimes a pause and they go, are you that guy? And that's when I have to remind them this call is being recorded.
Yeah.
And they're being unprofessional.
I love, and, are you that guy? And you know why they say that? They say that so they don't want to come off as though they're, like excited.
No, they make it very clear they're not excited to talk to me. They say, I know who you, I know all about you, and this is not a pleasurable surprise for me. Oh, I just thought of something funny. This happened just yesterday, and you're going to be the first person I tell about this because I love this story. I just built it up too much. It's not that
That's right,
good.
Folks. A Dad's the Podcast exclusive. We're the first getting this breaking story.
Okay, yesterday, I'm really hungry. It's around lunchtime. We're in a, we're all in quarantine, COVID, call it what you want, lockdown. And I'm really hungry, and I realize, oh, I don't really have anything. I'll order something on Postmates. So order something. And from this restaurant, one of my favorite restaurants is Kai's in Santa Monica. I'm just giving them a shout out. So I order from this place, and usually my son will go out and get the bag or something, you know, just because I, whatever. I just feel like
he's got to learn how to trade. He's got to learn COVID
he's
safety.
Gotta learn. He's got to learn. Yeah. But no one's there, so I go out to get it, and.
Wait, wearing the headband or not wearing the headband?
I'm wearing the headband, and okay. I'm also wearing a mask. And this guy, who I want to say is maybe in his mid-60s, is wearing a mask. And he's got my bag of food, and he sets it down, and he looks at me, and he goes, oh, man, oh, Conan, man, you're the man. And I went, oh, well, thank you so much. No, you're the man. You're great, man. You're so cool. And I went, well, that's really nice of you. Thank you very much. And he went, hey, I'm in the business, too. And I said, oh, you're in the business? And he said, yeah, I was on Happy Days. And I said, oh, you're on Happy Days. Like, what role did you play? And he went, hey, man, the Fonz stole my girlfriend. Remember that episode? And I'm like, but I love that he did that in 1976. He said, and I was like, oh, that's cool. And he went, yeah. And then some friend of mine, right after I taped that thing, was sort of throwing shade at me for something. And so I got him back. He asked me, hey, man, the next week he saw me. He said, hey, man, I saw you on Happy Days. The Fonz took your girlfriend. He was like, yeah, man. And I was like, and he was like, how much did you get for that? And really, I only got like a couple hundred bucks. because it was a one-line part, but I told him, I got $250,000. And he said, oh, fuck, man. And he's just, it's bummed him out ever since.
People believe that.
Yeah, but I thought, I'm getting this incredible story. Yeah. I'm literally just getting my seaweed,
Ooh, hot tip. What does Conan order?
Seaweed chicken with some miso glaze on it, a lot of broccoli and some rice. I'm getting that, and I'm getting this whole window into this guy's life.
Yeah.
And so I just thought that's a cool encounter. That's one of the bonuses of being a known person is people will tell you all kinds of stuff. Normally he just drops the bag off and goes, take care, man, stay safe. But I got to hear everything.
I wish when you got home, your son was like, did the Happy Days guy give you the bag?
Yeah.
Even your son's already on the story like every time he goes
out. Every time he goes out. Yeah. Let me guess, the Fonz took his girlfriend, right?
Yeah. Let me guess, $250,000?
Yeah, he lied to his friend who threw shade on him, and so he got him back. That's what happens.
As a celebrity dad, how much at the forefront is that, like, in your mind to not project that onto your children? Because I know from our relationship and stuff I've read that you make a pretty conscious effort to not let your kids feel like they're celebrities in any way. You are the spotlight in that family, and you do not want to share that. Is that the truth?
Yes, it is the truth. I, early on, and you've met my wife, Liza, but she was not happy because for the first couple of years of their lives, you know, we have Christmas and we do the stockings and all that. I would put my headshots in their stockings.
Wait, is that true? Because that's a funny joke, but that's also a funny, but that's a funny real life joke to all.
Yeah, that would be a funny real life joke. No, to answer your question, I am a figure of ridicule in my home, as it should be. And so we don't talk about my work. We don't, they're not consumers of what I do. Every now and then they'll see something online they think is funny and they'll go, oh yeah, I saw that thing. But that's pretty few and far between. Our house sort of runs as if I were a fairly successful realtor, you know, and when I come in, I'm like, some days I sold a house, some days I didn't, and no one wants to talk about it. But so that's kind of the way I like to operate. We never go to anything. I've never, I think I took my kids once to an event where they would get to meet the Obamas, that event being my birthday party. Hey,
whoa,
well, they come every year. I don't even invite them. He's like, Conan, it's so good to see you on this day of your birthday. I'm like, okay, but just call first, please. It's very, very low key. I keep it low key. And that's easy to do because people don't care about me that much. So it's easy to do.
I think it's very interesting because as the three of us can easily understand and relate to the fact that none of us had parents in entertainment. So I think it creates this whole different perception of how you grow up and how you look at your dad and who they are. And I think what I admire and love is that from what I'm gathering, it seems like you're still trying to be like, well, I kind of want to still provide the thing that I had.
Yes. Yeah.
Which is my kids thinking, oh, we're normal. We're a normal family. Yeah. There isn't something special.
Yeah. And I think, you know, one of the things early on I used to do would be in a restaurant and my daughter was really good at it, but I go like, we'd start to walk out of the restaurant and the street would be absolutely deserted. And I'd go, can you just keep them back? And my daughter would go, everyone, please give them space.
Yeah.
You know, give them space. We're just trying to be like, come on, guys, come on. And there's nobody. I mean, there's nobody for a mile in either direction.
Yeah.
And my son would be like, back, everybody, back. And I thought that took the piss out of the whole thing pretty early on. I grew up. And I wouldn't say it's a normal family. I don't think anybody has a normal family. I think that's just a flawed concept. But I grew up in a family where my dad would go off to work every day in his laboratory, and my mom would go off to work. She was a lawyer, and I never knew anybody in show business. I didn't think there was anybody from show business in Boston.
I love, yeah. Very few people could say, you know, my dad would go off to his laboratory.
Like,
that's
yeah.
already, right. yeah. That's stranger than what your kids could. Oh, my dad just, he's going to run his show again.
Right.
right.
That's my more dad was common off to his laboratory.
I should probably explain to your listeners, my dad right. wasn't just a scientist. He's an evil scientist. I'm off to the lab, you see. It's alive! It's alive!
Everyone's yeah, just still eating their cereal. Great. Yeah. Yeah. See you at 5.
No, he had, I mean, but also he worked in, you know, interestingly enough, in infectious diseases. So he's...
Topical.
Yeah. He invented something called COVID and then, dropped the beaker at
he
work.
He is a villain.
yeah. It was an accident and he went, oops. And I said, how long is it going to take for that to gestate? And this was like 1970. And he said, give it about, 50 years.
Yeah.
And sure enough... My dad, it's his fault. Yeah, he was working on stuff that I have to say is pretty unsexy. Like when someone says, your dad works in a lab, you picture those weird machines where lightning bolts are going between the two rods and there's electricity and there's giant sparks. No, my dad's was just a lot of books and journals and then this weird smell of Petri dishes and a refrigerator that had a couple of cultures in it. But... nothing that a kid really wanted to look at or play with.
That's what's so funny, because your dad in his mind was probably like, isn't this insane? I'm a scientist. And you were like, I don't give two shits. And now you're like, right. you want to be like, isn't this crazy? I'm a talk show host. I'm a celebrity. Your kids are like, I could not care less.
Yeah, they don't. They don't care. They, in a good way, their values are in the right place. And that's something that my wife and I were both really intent on. And I'm just, you know, I want them to be good people and I want them to make a lot of money in tech. That's important to me.
The dream.
Yeah.
What's it like with you and your dad? What is that? Is that a good relationship?
Yeah, it's good. Well, it's funny because my dad, he's also a big comedy fan and always was. And so... I grew up, I really do think one of the reasons I do what I do is I would watch my dad really laughing hard at like a Johnny Carson or and different things that we would watch on TV. And I would think, oh, yeah, that's the key, you know. And so making my dad laugh was really important to me.
Yeah,
I think that's where I got, that was my Scooby snack. You know, if I could really make dad convulse with laughter at the table, that was my little pellet. And early on, I realized, wow, I get this, you know, a lot of my, whatever it's self-esteem or some of my sense of myself having a personality or having an ability or a place in the world was making people laugh. And that starts really, I think it starts with your dad and your brothers and your mom. And my dad, a very smart guy, and I could see that he really liked silly visual humor. And so that influenced me a lot. And he used to take me to go see sort of classic comedy movies. And what's fascinating is that as the years went by and I got into having my show, my father, if he liked a sketch or something we did on the show, he would explain to me, like a scientist, why the joke was funny. And it would be like, he'd be like, yes, I like that. I like that thing you did. And I think what was nice is that you, of course, you set up the expectation and there's the expectation that this will happen. But then when Andy comes in and he's wearing the mask, of course, you disappoint that expectation, you see. And it's the disappointed expectation. And it's the fact that it's happening. I'm like, oh, my God. You know, like this is he's got like a flow chart.
That's
to
his
why
brain.
It's funny.
His brain sort of reads it that way.
Looking for some amazing TV to stream? Indulge yourself with the hits on Hulu you can't miss. Dive in with Barney, Ted, Robin, and the gang on How I Met Your Mother. All 9 seasons are now streaming on Hulu. Then you can move to Modern Family, Schitt's Creek, and My Wife and Kids. We're talking every episode and every season of these shows. We're talking huge hits, streaming on Hulu whenever you're in the mood. Now we're talking.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Did your other siblings also realize the reward of making your dad laugh?
Yes.
Did that become competitive where it was like,
yeah,
who could be the funniest? Who could get his attention in that way?
I think it's Bill Murray who said that, or his education in comedy, a lot of it was around the kitchen table. And my parents still with us and still living in Brookline, Massachusetts, and they sit at that same table. And I see it every time I go home, and
they still serve food to the places of their kids. And
yes,
you guys aren't there.
Yeah, and the kids
so
aren't
sad.
There. But the,
so
yeah,
weird.
Yeah. But it's like baseball now. They've just put up cardboard images of the of us, and
food just going bad in front
yeah.
of these.
Yeah. And they ladle oatmeal onto the old cruddy cardboard cutouts that are rotting with stinking food.
Oh man!
And the food just dribbles down the front, and then they have arguments with us, you know, why can't you do better in math? And but anyway, yeah, I go and I sit at that table and I think, yeah, I know exactly where I used to sit. And each one of us would try and get on a roll and try and get something going. And that's where it started. That's where
yeah.
it started for me. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is your dad funny?
Yeah, he's funny. It's so funny to talk about my dad this way, but I'm talking about him now like a comedian, meaning I'm like, you know, he's funny, but sometimes his delivery is too slow.
Yeah, right.
He winds it up too much and it's
yeah.
a little too precious.
Yeah.
I'm like, well, if he's a scientist.
Well, he's too
yeah,
analytical
yeah, exactly.
about it.
He yeah, he's too analytical about
he's
it.
He's not a musician about it.
You know, he'll tell you a story and then he'll go like, but then now, and remember what I told you earlier, he'll remind you of the part that's early and I'll go, no, I got that part.
Yeah.
And I'd be like, Dad, speed it up.
Yeah.
And give me we're going to rewrite it. And
you've
you're not going to
repeated the setup seven
yeah.
times.
Yes,
I get
exactly.
It.
I get it. I get it. We all get it. What are you, a fucking scientist or a comedian?
Yeah.
I'm the funniest scientist at work. Oh,
yeah.
God.
Oh, and yeah. I work alone.
Yeah.
I have cardboard cutouts of other scientists in the lab.
I'm funnier than my microscope. I mean, I don't know. What was your experience? When did you... Rory, I'm just going to say it. You're one of the funnier people I know, and I don't know a lot of people.
You know me.
I know you.
And your dad.
And I know the Secretary of Defense, and I think you're the funniest of those two.
Yes.
But you're a very, very incessantly funny person and in a very unique way, and it's just thinking, like, you had to have known that early, that you had— that superpower. You had to know.
I appreciate you saying that very much. I agree that I think with Bill Murray and what you just said is that it starts at such a young age. It also started for me realizing how much my dad and like his siblings, how you could get their attention if you did something funny, because mm-hmm. they would all try to be funny, I think, to make their dad laugh. And as like the grandchild of that, I got to witness that
right.
process and then try to figure out how to fit into it, which is funny because I don't think any of my other siblings do that at all. I had no competition of anyone else trying to be funny. All of my other siblings were like, no, we're like making straight A's and becoming doctors, and that's what's impressing Dad. And
right.
I'm like, well,
right.
I'm choosing a career that doesn't pay anything for a solid decade.
So who's winning now?
So yeah. who's winning? Because he'll smirk sometimes at my comments.
Yeah.
But I remember my dad very clearly. I think it was on AMC back when AMC was, you know, actually played classic movies. And it was like, or it was maybe Turner Classic Movies, but Marx Brothers, Horse Feathers came on, and my dad
yeah.
made me watch it. And I remember that kind of the light bulb went off that adults can be silly. And then I was like, oh, I like this. I thought adults, you know, could make jokes, but then it never occurred to me you can make a career out of it. So I agree. I'm willing to bet that there's a lot of comedians who do have, you know, influence of either parent,
Right.
But for some reason, and I think that's kind of where this podcast generates from, is that mystery of dads and fathers, and why was it that when your dad laughed at a joke, that meant so much to you? And I mm-hmm. bet you there's so many dads who were like tough. It was tough to get them to laugh, or it meant something.
It's one of the best connections you can have with somebody, because there's a kind of making someone laugh at something even kind of strange that's uniquely you is a way of almost having a secret handshake. Like, you know that they really understand you. It's such a
right.
It's yeah, such an intimate totally. Thing. And so, you know, obviously, Freud explained it a million times, but we're afraid of our dads, but we also, they're our heroes. You know, part of us wants to murder them. The other part thinks, well, no, I'll get caught. I can't kill him. I'll do time in jail, but it could look like an accident. And then you go down that whole
wormhole. I'm still a minor, so yeah. maybe this is yeah. the time to do this, it.
Do it now before I turn 16.
But I'm always putting stuff off, which yeah. Freud also says.
Yes, exactly. And, you know, he doesn't have a set schedule. He goes to the lab at different times, so it's hard to position myself with the rifle in the right place. I don't know when the car is going to come by. And, you know, the right rifle, I ordered it through the mail, which was Oswald's mistake. Don't do that. You want to make sure it's not connected to you. Anyway, we've all had those thoughts.
And of course.
That sums up all of our thoughts about fathers. But if you can make your father laugh, it's magical. It's just yeah. this magical, like, oh, he gets me. And I just reduced him to this shaking, red-faced, guffawing pile. And you're like, that's fantastic. So, of course, you'd then want to double down on that.
Yeah.
But I think it starts with your dad, and then you start finding your friends so that you can have your crew, or I came up with this word that I think caught on with younger people, squad. Like, you can have your squad.
Yeah. That's your squad. Word?
I came yeah. up
with Oh, my God.
Word. Yeah, I came up with that about, like a decade ago. I started saying, let's have squad goals and stuff like that, and then it became this whole thing that I think caught on with millennials and stuff, but whatever.
You invented hashtags.
Beyonce took it from you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Beyonce took a lot of things from me.
Yeah.
Let's be fair. I mean, I see now with my son, he really got into The Simpsons a couple of years ago, and he started watching The Simpsons. And he actually started watching The Simpsons before he really knew that I had worked there. And then one day an episode came up and he saw my name on it, and he was like, oh, I could see the nickel drop. And he looked at me like, oh, he's not a total waste of space. But then he went
What
back
I
to
like
think,
is that your son is also your dad.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Now you want to impress your son.
Yeah, exactly.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, we'll watch and he'll be laughing at something. And sometimes I'll laugh really hard at something on The Simpsons, and he'll look over and I can see that he's clocking what's making me really laugh.
Yeah.
And I'm right. like, ah, the journey continues.
Yeah.
You know?
This gene that leads to so much pain is getting passed yeah. on to him.
Enjoy a lifetime of never really filling that hole. Yeah. I made everyone in this big room laugh except one person. I fucking hate myself.
I like oh my that. God. How old is your son?
He's in his late 50s, which is weird.
Jesus,
yes. Dude. We've gone through this, right? I am 92, and no, my son is now 14, and so my daughter's 16, yeah.
I feel like that's such an interesting age psychologically, I feel like for both of you, because at 14 is when you know, a little too early, but in your brain, you start wanting to establish yourself as this independent sort of like, I'm also a man, but you're still so young and unable to know what that even means. But yet,
exactly.
And yet, as a dad, I guess you also, because I'm not there and I have a daughter, so I won't deal with that. But, I wonder if also as a dad, you also look at that and be like, oh, well, how do I interject reality into this delusion, but also be supportive to where you don't feel like you're kind of giving your kid a hard time for thinking they're this grown kind of person?
I'll say there's one problem. It's a huge problem, which is both my kids are very smart and they're very good people. my son is incredibly talented at tech and computer stuff, and he just always has been. And I mean, he was literally like reprogramming my phone when he was three. You know, he could reach over and hit a few buttons, and then suddenly it wasn't a phone anymore. It was a blender. And
he's MacGyver.
It was more MacGyver than tech. But
no, we always say in Team Coco, we can't wait for Beckett to like, well, for Beckett to be our boss.
Yeah, yeah. He's right. Really,
like eventually that will happen.
Yeah, anyone but Conan. But he's really very good at it.
And
I got it. But he's really good at tech. And one of the things that is so different from, you know, usually you have this grace period as an adult where you're just much more competent than your son. I have been, in his mind, illiterate in the thing since he was about nine. His whole world is coding and gaming, and you know, he likes to build computers, and he and his friends are really into it. I don't know anything about it. And so when he was like 8 or 9, he'd say, oh, I'm really frustrated, and I'd say, well, let me help, son. You know, I'll help you. Meaning, I'll help you put the chain back on your bicycle.
And but then he looked you straight in the eye and he goes, that's the funniest joke you've ever told. You helping me.
You helping me. But it's true, because I would say, I would want to help. You know, I love him. And I'd say like, well, how can I help? Let me sit down. What are we looking at here? And he would just say, okay, you really want to know? What I'm trying to do is I've written this in this code, but what I'm trying to do is transpose it into this other code so that I can't even follow more than half a sentence of what he's talking about. And he sees that. And then I go, I provide food. I pay house. I'd have no ability in that area, so it's very humiliating.
Here's the good news. The good news is it clearly skips a generation, and you and your grandson are going to bond over comedy so hard. Your grandson's going to say something to make your son laugh, and he's going to be like, oh, my God, I understand Grandpa Conan now.
Yeah.
Now I understand old Grandpa Conan. Grandpa Conan, why has he done that to his face to try and look younger?
Why does he wear the headband after the virus has been gone for decades now? The
virus has been gone forever, and he still looks like the bully in Karate Kid.
He's still wearing the mask. That's not a mask, son. That's his face now.
He had a lot of ill-advised... My son will explain to his son. Now, Grandpa had a lot of ill-advised surgery on his face
that
when
we
he
all
hit 70.
Him,
and we told
it.
Him, you're a comedian. You didn't make it on sex appeal. You made it on your facial expressions. But he didn't listen, and that's why he looks like he's been badly burned.
Oh, my God.
In terms of, like, those connections, or even, either of your children, like, do you feel like knowing that you maybe can't connect on what their interest is, do you feel like emotionally you get in there and you have those like more mature conversations like that your kid kind of looks and is like, I can tell my dad anything. I always wonder because I do not come from this. There was no part of me that's like, I could sit my dad down and go,
Oh God, what's really bothering me. I didn't come from that. My dad grew up in the Depression and he's Irish. I mean, Irish American, but there's no talking about, hey son, let's sit down and talk this out. I know you're having these feelings, and also while we're at it, let's talk about sex. That's something that's probably of interest to you now, and let's have it out. There was none of that.
God, I would love that to be a sex talk. That's probably something of interest to you now.
Yeah.
Of course, now with your penis is coming to life in some
that's
regards.
That's the most scientific sex talk, and probably there's parts of your brain that are lighting up with new thoughts and emotions and feelings.
You know,
I asked that because I don't have that with my dad. That wasn't a part of our relationship, and I think because of that, I try to provide that with my daughter where I'm just more, like I say, I love you nonstop to the point where she's probably kind of over it. But I do all the things that I didn't have that in my brain were like, oh, this is how I think it should have been for what I would want it to be. And then I don't know if that's the right or wrong call either.
Well, I always flash forward to they have a therapist someday.
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
And I know, I kind of feel like, well, they can't say they thought they were unloved because my wife and I, they've been slathered in love. And
slathered in love is definitely an adult film that we cannot.
Yeah. It was my first,
it's our new sponsor.
My first on-screen credit.
Our first sponsor, Slathered in Love, coming out this fall.
Yeah.
But I, we say that stuff all the time, that stuff.
Yeah.
Meaning, I love you. But there's a lot of that in our house. And well, I always tell my wife, they're going to have complaints about us. They will, because that's just the way it is. They will go to therapy and go, yeah, my dad and my mom. But they won't be able to say, we had no clue if we were loved or not. That they won't be able to say.
Yeah. Because I, my father passing away not that long ago, it was very surreal to be home and to be in my hometown. And someone had told me this, that when your dad passed away, and I assume it's probably your mom too, but for the sake of this, the people were like, you sort of meet through other people, this other version of your parent, like who your dad, who your dad is.
Yeah.
So it was so absolutely true. And from what stories or people were telling me, they're like, you know, your dad used to do this at work, or he'd say this or this and this. So like his coworkers were like, you know, my dad wouldn't really reach out and like ask us what's going on. He wouldn't like call to be like, hey, I heard you're doing this, or hey, I watched this, I just wanted to say this. Like if you saw him or you happened to be on a call with him, he would bring it up. But then his coworkers were like, you know, your dad talked about you and your siblings like all the time at work. And you meet this, you sort of meet this other version of somebody. And I think after learning that, I was like, and this kind of goes with the kids in therapy and them being able to say they're not, they will never be able to say they're not loved. There's this part of me in my mind that's like, oh, I want to make sure I get out in front of that.
Yes.
To be like, hey, is there anything I'm not doing, or is anything I'm not saying, or is there, you know, there's no question my daughter will find me wildly annoying. There's just no way around it. My wife is already very vocal that I am too much.
No, it's true what you bring up about your father having like a different, there's this different dad you meet. I'm sure someday, and I hope it's not for a long time, but when I'm sure when my dad goes, I'll hear people say, You know, man at work, you know, at the lab, he stole a lot of money. He embezzled a lot of funds.
Which would be so fun. That would be, like, that's so great.
Your dad, he used to, you know, when he'd say he was taking a trip, he'd just drive around in a van and murder people in the Pacific Northwest. So I'll meet that guy. I'll get to know that guy who I had no idea. But no, it's true. I do think about that a lot, how we have one viewpoint of who our fathers are, and then other people in the world have this other view, and maybe they liked a dirty joke and liked telling them at work, and we never knew that. Do you know what I mean? Maybe they had kind of a racy sense of humor, or liked practical jokes, or some kind of way of communicating with the rest of the world that they didn't communicate as fathers.
Right, yeah.
Sometimes dads, like, censor themselves. So I think now, like, you guys don't censor yourself as much from your children as maybe your dads did.
I think it's changed a lot over the years. You know, I think about like Abraham Lincoln and his father.
Right.
And
as
and
we all do, often yeah. dream. Yeah. I often dream about
every
those two men.
Every Tuesday.
But, you know, when Abraham Lincoln's born, yes, in Kentucky in 1809.
Yeah.
Nerd alert.
Yeah.
Nerd alert. History. Someone read a book and we should beat him up. But his father just was waiting for him to be old enough to just get to work so that they could survive.
Yeah,
and
right.
so, and he had a very bad relationship with his father, and they were very distant because his father would say, get up and now you're going to work in that field all day long. And I think he thought his father was, you know, practically illiterate, and I could barely sign his name. And so he had contempt for his father that way. So there was all this stuff. And I think for most of history, you know, a lot of fathers and sons have had really complicated relationships, and maybe there hasn't been that much warmth. And then if you think about it, people really started getting mushy and cuddly about kids like 150 years ago. We're still catching up, I don't think. But a lot of kids used to die in infancy, so people were afraid to get too attached to them. And so they would have a lot of kids and a bunch of them wouldn't make it. And it was a completely different dynamic. And now we build our lives around our children and we build shrines to them and we hang out with them all the time. And it's got to stop is my point. I think we've got to get back to the old way of having cold, distant relationships with our children. So they strive harder to earn our love. And that's why they invent the light bulb.
And that's why we wanted to have you on. That's his platform for November when Conan also tries to run for president.
It used to be more common for a dad to be almost like a stranger to in a family.
Yes.
It was probably more common to be afraid of your dad, like wait till your father gets home.
I know, which is so bizarre.
That's what I meant about censorship. Like you wouldn't know what kind of music your dad listened to in the car on the way to the laboratory.
Because then he becomes soft.
Yeah, like
you're not afraid of him anymore.
Yeah, you don't share who they
Kenny
are
Loggins.
With you as much. Yeah.
Loggins and Messina there and back.
So good. That was my first concert.
That was my law firm, Loggins and Messina. That's my first.
Why not your name?
I hired them. I hired Loggins and Messina.
I never partnered at my own firm.
I never partnered. Yeah.
But I think that, you know, in my generation, it's changed. Just as, you know, because I think there were six of us, and my dad was not at home a lot. He was always at work. And so we were probably a little more afraid of him, or he was, do you know what I mean? He was someone who came in and then left again. It wasn't all warm and mushy. And I think I'm more of a, you know, my kids certainly do not fear me. they've never seen me like lose my temper.
I think is a good thing. I think it's all good evolution.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, but sometimes I feel, maybe I need to try and lose my temper in front of them to show that. Give them just a taste of that. But
Fake losing it.
What? No Post-its? Where are my Post-its? Dad, take it easy. Don't shoot.
You've never once mentioned Post-its.
You've never, ever been, don't you talk to me. But I think they need to see me lose it and snap in order to have, so that they can tell their kids, here's the way that I'm failing my kids. I need to give them some things that they can then improve upon as parents, so they can say, well, I never lost it the way my old man Conan did, but I haven't lost it. So now they can only do worse than me because I've been pretty good.
Yeah.
So I have failed them by being a great dad.
Looking for some amazing TV to stream? Indulge yourself with the hits on Hulu you can't miss. Dive in with Barney, Ted, Robin, and the gang on How I Met Your Mother. All 9 seasons are now streaming on Hulu. Then you can move to Modern Family, Schitt's Creek, and My Wife and Kids. We're talking every episode and every season of these shows. We're talking huge hits, streaming on Hulu whenever you're in the mood. Now we're talking.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at a coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at T-Mobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at T-Mobile.com.
Did you always want to be a dad? Was that always the plan? You were like, I'm going to be a dad, and that's the deal.
I mean, when I was, you know, younger, and in my, especially in my teens and 20s, I didn't see the appeal of marriage. I didn't see, and I was very ambitious and really wanted to go out and make my way and do my thing. So through my 20s and well into my 30s, I just was not interested in settling down and buying a pipe. I didn't really start to think about it until I met my wife, and that's when I thought, oh wait, I really want to be with this person and no one else. Then that leads to, yes, I want to have kids. So, you know, she was the one that changed the equation. I was not someone that romanticized marriage or getting married. I wasn't thinking about that. Mm-hmm. I may have been a little phobic about it. Rory, I think you can relate to this, but Rory and I are just real ladies' men. You know, we're guys.
I know.
Yes. But you know what I mean? We're guys that just... women want to be with us. Men want to be us. Some men want to be on top of us. We want to be with men.
My wife would not. There is no part of my wife that has any fear of me with it.
Yes, I know. I know. I know exactly what you're going to say because it's the same for me.
Yeah, she's like, if like, I was like, I'm going to go cheat, she'd be like, go for it.
Yeah.
She would almost be intrigued by the effort. Like, you think there's someone out there willing to do the work I've done.
Yes. Yes. Yeah. No, it's really funny you say that because my wife also, and you know, and I'm as part of my job interviewing world famous, beautiful women or supermodels. And I really do think if one of them ended up, you know, if we got stranded together in a hotel, because I went there to interview them for some, you know, whatever. And then we got stranded there and I was in a hotel for 3 weeks alone with the world famous, beautiful model, my wife would have absolutely no fear that any, and now I'm speaking like a Kennedy, she'd have no fear and she'd be correct because she knows, that's not happening.
Yeah.
And I have said to my wife, I've said to Liza, come on, if you found out that I was cheating and had been for a while, isn't there some part of you that would be really impressed with my time management? Because that's the thing that I always come back to is when I always read about like someone was having an affair and it was going on for a year, I think, how?
Yeah.
How are you?
Yes.
I'm going to go out and you always have to be coming up with an excuse. It sounds exhausting.
Or like that's two families. How do men have two families? I'm kind of jealous because women can never have two families. Like I could never have two families.
Yes, you could. You could say, man, am I gaining weight. Oh my God. Yeah. I had so many burritos. I got really big. Now I'm going to go away for a bit.
Yeah.
I won a trip and I'll be back in 7 months.
I won a trip.
I won a trip.
And you can't come with me and I'll be back in 7 months. Hey, I lost all the weight. So then you've got the other family going. Yeah, that's the part that would blow my mind is I don't know how people do it, you know?
Yeah. Conan, do you think there's a part of you that's changed the most since becoming a dad?
I would say probably the biggest change for me, it wasn't a moment. It was just this general settling realization that I found very calming, which was, oh, I don't matter in this way that I really find relaxing. Meaning, I think there's so much of youth which is ego-driven. You know, it's all me, and you're supposed to be self-centered when you're young, and it's what drives your career and your ambitions and what you accomplish, and you're pushing yourself. And I think I indulged in a very long period of that. And then when my daughter was born, she was first, I remember just thinking, oh, it's about her. And I just saw that my wife suddenly kind of didn't care that much if I was hungry or not. It's about the kid. And we're doing what's going to be best for the kid. And I found that lack of emphasis and focus on me to be nourishing. I know that sounds strange, but I found it to be kind of like, I don't know, I liken it to... sometimes I'm driving in the desert. If I've been driving in the desert a couple of times, I've driven cross country by myself back in the day. And if I had to get to LA or New York, one or the other, and I would get out and I would just look at these massive rock formations in the desert. And I would think they were here long before me. They're here long after me and they don't care what I do. And I would relax me because it would deflate the ego and the I and the sense of self. And I think having kids, to me, becoming a father made me realize, oh yeah, I'm in this long chain and I will go as people before me have gone. I will disappear and it's about them now. And I found that to be peaceful. I liked it. Mm-hmm. When I think that idea might frighten some people, when it actually happens to you, you embrace it.
Yeah.
I agree. I think it takes all the pressure off.
Yeah, I just like it gives you, it's so profound when a child arrives. It's such a profound, crazy moment that you think everything else. I mean, Andy Richter said this to me once. He said, I quit. And he left.
Yeah.
But then he said something else to me. He said...
At the door before he slammed it.
Yeah, before he slammed it. He said, you treated me like shit and I'll never speak to you again. And then he slammed the door. But then he leaned in the window. There was an open window and he leaned in. And then he said to me, you should shut this window because someone could get in.
Bugs can get in.
Yeah. But then I followed him for a while. And then he finally said to me, and this is the part that I wanted to mention, that other stuff probably not germane to the story, but he said to me, wow, when you have a kid, it sure makes your life before that look pretty ridiculous, you know? Like you think back to, I don't know, you like Rory, if you can, like before your daughter showed up, it's like AD and BC. It's like this yes. massive, there's just, oh, remember the time I went to that Sizzler and bought a lot of food and then went and saw a movie and then I crashed my bike. You're like, whatever. It all happened in that gray time before there was a, once a kid shows up, everything goes from, it's the Wizard of Oz. Everything goes from black and white to Technicolor. And
it's like the Matrix, red pill, blue pill.
Well, no, it's more like the Wizard of Oz.
Like you take the pill and then you can see green sort of, letters, which is color.
You know,
so that's
come out of the house and then suddenly it's color and the whole audience in 1939 goes, ooh, because they haven't seen that a lot. So yeah, it's really, I guess the point is, and we've decided it's Wizard of Oz.
And since the Matrix, it's kind of like there is a wizard and the curtain's been pulled back and you're like, oh my God, it's these machines and it's our sort of a simulation.
Yeah, it really is. It's Judy Garland. It's Ray Bolger.
Keanu Reeves.
No, I don't think he was in The Wizard of Oz. He was not born yet. But my point is, and we're not going to waste time on this because we're saying really profound things about fatherhood, which is a father has to be right and it's The Wizard of Oz.
That's exactly right. And that's something Morpheus sort of gets into in the resolution of Act 2 that leads us into Act 3.
Interesting. Falling into the arms of Morpheus is a very elegant 19th century way of saying falling asleep, which is what happens to the Wizard of Oz crew when they fall asleep in that poppy field. Oh, your God. Serve now. It's balls in your court. So anyway, look, I won that one and the calls are coming in. I'm looking. Yes. Overwhelming. Yeah. Support for me.
Well, one thing we should mention is that you were on a lot of psilocybin looking at those rocks and realizing how old the rocks are. And in The Matrix, those rocks aren't real. So something to think about.
Well.
You know it's a good podcast when the episode ends with the guest going,
Well.
You know what you should do is you should just take out everything else I said today and you should, within an edit, just keep putting the ums in. So you ask me questions and I go, And then you say something else and I go,
You're listening to Agree to Disagree with Ruthie and Rory.
Yeah.
The show about agreeing.
Right.
You're listening to A Petulant Conan Refuse to Talk.
Conan, thank you so much. Thank you so much for coming on
Dad's
the Podcast.
Much.
I love it. You're a hilarious and very gifted fellow, and I look forward to coming back on the show.
Nope.
Okay. Well, that didn't happen.
can't.
Wow. Yeah.
We are so booked up.
You know what? Can I just say one thing, Rory? It's so easy to just go, sure, and then just not have it happen. You saying nope is completely unnecessary.
It's so honest and raw and real. And that's who I am.
Well, we did it. That's Dads. That's our first episode.
That's it. That is it. People, write that down, because what you just listened to was history, okay? That's what just happened. And I don't know, maybe everyone got their Conan fix from this and they'll never try to see him or hear him again. But if you want more Conan, you know where to get him. TBS, it's weeknights, 11, 10 Central. And if you're listening to this on September 2nd, I, Rory Scovel, will be doing an interview with him today to mark the release of this very podcast. And as always, you can catch Conan on his amazing podcast, Conan Needs a Friend. Definitely subscribe if you haven't already, folks. Subscribe! Just do it! Ruthie, how do you feel? That's it. That's the show.
I feel great. I feel like it all happened and we're on our way. And
it's the start of our new family.
It's the start of our new family, yeah.
That's right. And we're going to be back. We'll be back next week. Brand new episode, brand new guest. Subscribe, tell a friend. You know what? Tell 10 friends.
Do it.
Even if you hated it, go, hey, you guys should subscribe to this so you can hate listen with me. Okay?
Yeah.
It does us a solid. Give us a rating. Give us a review. That's how these podcasts get attention and get noticed. And me and Ruthie get to do more of these. If there are any celebrities listening, message us just to say, hey, I listened. And you know what? Yeah. Even if you don't, if you're not sure if you're a celebrity, like maybe you were on local news one time about a tornado and you don't know if that counts.
Yeah, I'll take that.
Ruthie and I are here to tell you that counts.
Yeah.
That does count.
100%.
Over here at Dad's, everyone's a celebrity. And that's our new slogan.
Yeah. And to give a shout out to the people who helped make this show, Dad's the podcast is produced by Jen Samples, Nick Liao, and me, Ruthie Wyatt. Our executive producers are Joanna Solitaroff, Adam Sachs, and Jeff Ross. Engineering by Will Becton and Anya Jeshik. Our theme song is by Strange Hotels, with additional music by John Danick. Special thanks to Sean Doherty.
That's right, folks. And you can stay up on all things Dads by following Team Coco Podcast on Instagram and follow me on Twitter at Rory Scovel. Thank you for listening. Ruthie Wyatt, see you next week.
Bye.
This has been a Team Coco production.
Love the flexibility of working in all sorts of places? Well, working on the go seamlessly requires a strong network like T-Mobile. We have America's largest 5G network, so whether you're on a video call at the park or uploading large files at the coffee shop, we have the 5G speed you need. Whatever takes you on the go, T-Mobile's got you covered. Find out more at tmobile.com/network today.
Coverage not available in some areas. See 5G device coverage and access details at tmobile.com.